Welcome into the Investing in Real Estate show on this Monday, September 14th. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. So strange watching NFL football games last night. It was really strange with that crowd noise being pumped in, but hey, this is the new normal. Anyway, it is almost fall, and thank you so much for dialing us in. This is our special Q&A episode that we do every Monday. You can ask us a question very simply by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. And we've got a voicemail feature on there where you can ask like a 30-second question. Try to keep it to about 30 seconds, which most of you have been doing, which I love. So ask a real estate related question, financing related question, anything that's tripping you up. So without further ado, let's get into it on today's episode. We've got four questions on today's show, and they're all really good. So be sure to stick around. We've got one from Ed, Camille, Hari, and David on the show today. All right, let's start off with Ed's question.
Hi, Clayton. My name is Ed von Borstel, and I'm from Palm Springs, California. And my wife and I have been arguing over the rentals that we have. I have a tendency to want to spend a little bit more on the properties and upgrade them because I feel that when I do that, I can ask more money per month for the rental. She says, no, just do the bare minimum that you need to do, a little bit less because you overcompensate on the properties. We've seen various pods that you have and kind of know where we stand with it. But I find that when I do increase the amount of work as each one leaves, they were in for 2 years, then I go in there and I add something new to it. But anyways, so we've been upgrading our rentals and it seems like we can add a little bit more in terms of cost. What are your thoughts on that? Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Ed, for that question about upgrading your properties. You know, there's a bunch of variables here. So I don't want to cause any kind of a marital fight between you and your wife. See, Clayton said I was right, or Clayton said I was wrong. But I think you're both right in a way. And it just really depends on a few variables. So for instance, on the new construction properties that we do at our company, and a lot of them that we were doing in Texas, we have a couple of different price ranges. So there are certain properties that we're doing that are higher end, are higher end duplexes with vaulted ceilings, stainless steel appliances, granite countertops, very nice laminate flooring that looks like wood. You can't tell the difference, and it will be very durable, and it's fantastic. And then we have slightly lower cost properties in that same area with, we don't have granite countertops in there, we don't have stainless steel appliances, and a lot of student housing is perfect for those units. And so you just need to know what your targeted demographic is going to be. And I would say you don't want to really crazy over upgrade a property in a neighborhood that doesn't warrant it yet. So for instance, some properties that I have in our Michigan market, it's about time for us to now think about putting granite countertops and stainless steel appliances into those properties because those particular neighborhoods have advanced. When we bought them a number of years ago, they were not ready for that. And it would have been stupid for us to put in granite countertops. But there's a couple of things at play. Granite is now virtually the same price as putting in a Formica countertop. So in a lot of our properties, we are just putting granite countertops. It looks nicer. It's durable. It's really going to spark a renter's eye when they walk in the door. And so just go for it. What I do notice by adding in some of those higher end features, which make it have a more luxury feeling to it, yes, you can charge a higher rent and tenants tend to stay longer. So there are definitely some benefits to it, but please don't over upgrade a property in a neighborhood that's just not ready for it yet, or don't over upgrade features that the tenant is not going to care about. So those are important things as well. You know, a tenant is going to care about the kitchen. A tenant is going to care about cabinets and storage. A tenant is going to care about the bathroom and carpeting, especially if you're in a colder climate. Is it going to be cold in that room? So do you have carpeting in the bedroom? Those types of things. So there's just little features that can really go a long way. But when I was first starting out in rental real estate, I even asked when I didn't know what I was doing, I said, should I put some Nest thermostats in here? Should I put solar panels? All of these things maybe sound great to you and me, but they don't necessarily make sense for a rental property. So I want to have a great place for my tenant to live, but I also don't want to be stupid with the types of amenities I'm putting in that won't actually benefit the tenant. It'll just make you feel better. Now, obviously, there's some back-end things that you're going to want to consider, Ed, which are some of the systems in the house. Now, those aren't necessarily upgrades that are going to necessarily benefit the tenant, but they're going to benefit you as a property owner. So it maybe makes sense for you to put in that higher-end furnace that you know is not going to break in a year. Maybe it makes more sense for you to put in a certain type of electrical system or upgrades that in plumbing that, you know, the tenant might not see, but are going to benefit you because you're not having to replace it all the time. So those types of things are a personal question, and you really want to think about those on the back end. Again, what is going to benefit the tenant, maybe charging higher rent, putting in that fence in the backyards to charge for them to have a dog on the property. And, you know, pet owners tend to stay in properties a long time because it's difficult to find properties that will allow a pet. So if you install that fairly inexpensive fence in the backyard that allows that dog to go out, you might have a tenant for 5-7 years because you did that. And also you could charge a pet fee on the property. So there's just a bunch of different things to consider. So again, I know it's maybe a cheap way of me saying you're both right, but you are in some ways both right. She's saying don't over upgrade if you don't have to. And you're saying we can perhaps charge more rent by adding in some nicer features, maybe stainless steel appliances, granite countertops, things like that in the property, ceiling fans that just add that little extra touch that is going to stand out next to the property down the street that has Formica countertops, older cabinets, and older appliances. All of those things do matter in a rental property. So thank you, Ed, for that question. Today's show is brought to you by Tiege Hanley. I'm super excited to have them on as a sponsor because it's skincare for men. And look, I know if you're new to skincare, if you're new to thinking, well, I'm just a guy, I just wash my face with a bar of soap, please promise me you're never going to do that again. Promise me. Once you understand what that actually does to your face, I mean, wrinkles, crow's feet, when I look at, you want to look 10 years older than you actually are, yeah, then just go ahead and keep doing that. Or you could actually get into a routine that takes care of your skin. Now, if you're new to skincare, I recommend starting with their level one skincare system. It comes with all the basics that every guy needs just to take care of their skin. A face wash, an exfoliating scrub. You put on an AM moisturizer with an SPF 20 right in the morning. So when you're out in the sun, even just going to your car, going to lunch, you have that SPF on your face and that added protection right now. And there's a PM moisturizer. So you wash your face at night, put that on before bed. It's one of my favorite things about Tiege Hanley is the instruction card that comes in every box. It tells you when to use each product. My wife will be in the bathroom, it seems like for like 20 minutes doing different stuff before bed. That was until I started actually taking care of my skin and thinking, okay, I'm in my 40s now. I don't want to look like I'm in my 60s. Right? I need to start taking care of myself. And that's why you need to take action and try Tiege Hanley. They're going to give you 20% off the retail price, including free US shipping. And just for listening to this show, you are going to get a free, because they're sponsoring our show, you're going to get a free toiletry bag with your first box. Just go to Tiege.com/investing. I have the bag. It's awesome. Free toiletry bag. And it doesn't just fit their items. It'll fit any stuff. So when you're traveling, it's perfect. Here's how you spell it. If you're wondering how to spell Tiege, it's Tiege.com/investing to get started for only $25. Really fantastic. It is the right skincare routine for you. Can get rid of those unwanted eye bags, wrinkles, crow's feet, all of it. Men, I'm telling you, give it a try right now.
I'm here in Texas, and I'm seriously considering turnkey investing. I've been looking into multiple companies, and I'm wondering, because I like you and your wife so much, what makes your company different from other turnkey investment companies?
Hey, Camille, thank you for your question. This is Natalie, and I heard you mention my name as I was walking by, so I kind of pushed Clayton over and said, let me answer that one.
Yeah, she really hurt.
I'm being nosy. I'm being nosy and I'm going to hop in. I loved your question. And you're right. There are a lot of turnkey solutions. Actually, you know, that is a word that we learned about just poking around on the internet. And now you can see that a lot of other companies use it. And we haven't used it quite so much in the last, I'd say, year and a half. For a good reason. I think when we started using the term turnkey, we thought what it meant was just someone could go in, put a key in the door, turn it, and be ready to be your tenant. But we have since realized that there are so many different tenets to owning property. And it's not just that someone's ready to put a key in the door. It's, you know, what is the right solution to owning a property for you? What is the right entity structure that you should have? Should you have financing or not? Who is the right insurance provider? Who is the right property management? So instead of just thinking about it as, is there a property ready for you to own for a tenant to put a key in it? We like to think of ourselves as full service rental real estate solutions. So we help you not just identify a property that is in fact turnkey, right? Ready for the key to be turned, but also is ready to be inserted into your wealth building plan. So what are your goals? How is this going to get it you closer to your goal, this property? And then what are the keys that you need to succeed? Who maybe is the right tax accountant? Who maybe is the right lawyer? What's the right entity? What's the right banking solution? All of that stuff are things that we like to help you with. So, okay, Clayton's kicking me out. Goodbye. Thank you for the question.
Yeah, and I think it's a great question. And I think also, like, when we get on the phone with you for the very first time as a full service company, it's not just about the house. And I think that's a really big difference is that, you know, turnkey for a lot of people is just the house. You can go to a website, find go to Zillow, find some random property that says it has a tenant in it. And then that's not helping you really build wealth and building a portfolio that's going to stand the test of time. What's the history of that property? And so we know, because we do new construction, we know the history of that property. It's brand new with a tenant in place. But also, more importantly than the house, is what are your goals? So that's one of the very first questions that we will ask you on the phone. You'll notice when you book a call with us, you actually have some homework to do before we even get on the phone with you, because it might not even be a fit for us to work with you. If you're not willing to put in the homework and actually download the PDF that we provide when you book a call with us that asks you to identify what your why is, what are your goals with real estate? Like, we want to build a long-term relationship with you, and that is full service. So that's our goal, is to say, okay, Camille wants to build a portfolio of 6 properties over 8 years. She's got this IRA to work with, this 401k that she could leverage. She has some cash on hand. We also have the financing available for her and all of these different pieces to pull together. And that's going to look a lot different than Ed, who asked our first question, right? His family situation might be totally different than yours. And that's, to me, what full service is. I hope that answers your question. Really great question, though, Camille. Thank you so much. Okay, our next question today is from Hari. Hari, take it away.
Hey, Clayton. The question is, what's the difference between going through Fund and Grow versus me going through the bank and trying to acquire for the loan? You have thousands of people that you refer to them. Are you really seeing 100% guarantee that these guys know what they're doing? So that would alleviate the concern that my wife has to try to do it ourselves or go through them. Thank you.
Thank you, Hari, for that question. Well, the difference is there are two different types of financial products. If you go with Fund and Grow, we have a $500 discount on our website if you use them. If you go to morrisinvest.com/funding, right at the top of our website is a funding tab. And so book a call with those guys. They'll work with you and they'll be able to set up 0 interest credit cards for you. And you'll be able to get like multiple cards for you. They will do all of the legwork negotiating with the banks. So you'll have 0% interest credit cards that you can use as business financing. You can use it for real estate. You can use it as a down payment on real estate, et cetera. You could use it to grow your business. It doesn't necessarily have to be for real estate. Now, I've used them for years, Natalie and I have used them. We were able to raise, I think, about $176,000 in our first round with them at 0% interest. And then we did it again, and we're able to get about $90,000. And they're fantastic. So that's one option. The other option, though, like with our rental properties, is the financing available. We work with over 60 different lenders, and interest rates are so low that I think you'd be crazy not to take advantage of the traditional financing that's available right now in the market. So I think two entirely different products. You might find that we have a lot of clients that will actually do a blending of the two, meaning they'll get financing for the rental property through a traditional lender that we provide, but then they also use Fund and Grow as the down payment on the property. And because the down payment, they'll be able to basically get that money back on their taxes in the form through write-offs and through all the tax incentives that we're able to help with you on, that you're able to almost pay off that 0% interest, those cards very, very quickly. So you're acquiring a rental property really on the backs of other people's money. And this is what we encourage you to do. So to me, they could work in tandem. You could use one over the other. You could use one like Fund and Grow for something entirely outside of the realm of real estate altogether. So again, I just would explore both of them and see if they're a fit. And you can't go wrong by just having phone conversations and exploring those things. But if you're interested in the Fund and Grow model, you'll save $500 off their sign-up fee, which they only charge you that if they get you money. Like they don't, it's not just a fee that they charge you and they hope they get you money. They'll get you the funding, which actually is cheaper than closing costs. But you can go to our website and check that out at morrisinvest.com/funding. All right, we've got our last question from David, and it's a really good question. But first, this.
Today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Look, small businesses have unique needs. And if you've been listening to our show, you know how much they have been struggling lately, given this pandemic. You know, despite the current uncertainty, one thing that remains unchanged is the importance of having the right people on your team. So when your business is ready to make that next hire, LinkedIn Jobs can help by matching your role with qualified candidates so that you can find the right person quickly. You know, the thing I love about LinkedIn Jobs, just imagine LinkedIn and then layering their incredible network on top of that platform. And so when you're posting a job, you're not just blindly posting something on the internet. They are actively seeking out the right people that would match the criteria you're looking for. It's just saves so much time. Just stop wasting time. This is 2020 for crying out loud. You shouldn't have to spend that much time finding the right candidate. So LinkedIn is an active community of professionals with more than 690 million members worldwide. No one even comes close. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates with the hard and the soft skills that you're looking for. And it puts your job post in front of the qualified members every day so that it's seen by people looking for jobs like yours. That's how LinkedIn Jobs can help you find the right person faster. So when your business is ready to make that next hire, find the right person with LinkedIn Jobs. You can pay what you want and you get the first $50 off. Just visit linkedin.com/investing. Again, that's linkedin.com/investing to get $50 off your first job posting. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks, LinkedIn Jobs.
Hey there, Clayton. It's David Coffey here. Hope you're having a great day. Listen, I love this new voicemail feature that you have on your site. I think it's amazing. But anyhow, my question was, I wanted to know when you are holding real estate in several different states, would it be wise to open up a LLC in each state, or is there an amount of properties before you do that? So basically, I'm just trying to figure out, would one LLC be sufficient for properties in multiple states, or do we need to have multiple LLCs for each state that we have property in? Thank you so much. Really appreciate this. This is amazing. Such a great feature.
Thank you, David. By the way, I love the name David Coffey. If I could change my last name to Coffey, I would, since I drink so much of it, by the way. So thank you, David, for that question. We are not accountants. We are not lawyers. So seek your own counsel on this question. But personally, we like the LLC model in each state. Remember, when you're acquiring real estate in other states and collecting income from those tenants in those other states, you're going to have to pay taxes in those states. And our accountants and legal advisors have always advised us to have LLCs in the states where we are earning that income. Now, your other question about whether or not, you know, at what, how high or how much value in each LLC. Again, I defer to our great tax minds that we work with and Tom Wheelwright and the team at Wealthability. Again, if you're interested in any of that and the tax information on that, we have a lower your taxes tab right on our website. And you can connect with the great team at Wealthability on that. So they're the best for real estate tax accounting, by the way. Tom has always advised us that you should definitely have, think about a maximum of about $250,000 to $300,000 in each LLC. That's what our advisement has been over the years. We've stuck pretty well to that rule of thumb. That's to say that some LLCs we have a little bit more, some less. But in each state that we have rental properties, we have an LLC, and we try to keep it at about $250,000 if we can. And that's up to you. Again, that's a personal preference, how much liability in one LLC you're willing to take on. One other thing I would recommend is also check out the team at Royal Legal Solutions. And they're a great team. We actually did a private interview with their founder on our Financial Freedom Academy private group live stream. We're going to be releasing that a little bit later, but that was first to our private group about series LLCs. And the difference there is that you would have one series LLC instead of having to set up multiple individual LLCs, but you would still have to set up individual land trusts in each of those states. So either way, there's going to have to be some sort of entity structure that you're going to have in each state that would report up to your main sort of either holding company or to like a series LLC. I hope that didn't get too in the weeds for you, but at the end of the day, it comes down to a personal preference. Our preference has been the individual hub and spoke model, which is having individual LLCs in the states that we own rental properties. They then report up to our holding company LLC. It's a little bit more advanced, but again, that's where you want to call in the big guns and have a conversation when you get into that many rental properties in different states. You want to call in your CPAs to make sure they understand this and make sure they are good real estate CPAs like the team at Wealthability. Okay. That's going to do it for today's show. Ed, Camille, Hari, and David, thank you all for your wonderful questions. Remember, you can ask questions of us just by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. And there's a voicemail function. You just click on it, record right from your smartphone, and you can ask us a 30-second question about real estate, financing, anything that's holding you back. And we will attempt to answer it here. All right. I'm still sore from my terrible Eagles game last night, so I'm going to go get a heat bath or something. Put some ice on my knees after that brutal game yesterday. Much love to all of you. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.